So congregation, continuing as it were, where we have found ourselves this morning, dealing with sola scriptura in terms of salvation, strictly considered, or we might say justification as well, we turn now to continue. Seeing secondly, scripture is enough for sanctification, I would invite you to open your Bible. We're going to end up at 2 Timothy 3, verses I would imagine are quite well known to us, but we're going to begin with some background to that. So go to Joshua chapter 1, we'll read verse 8, and then Hebrews chapter 4, where we'll take up verse 12, to then find ourselves in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. So Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And then congregation to the book of Hebrews and chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4. All of these being excellent verses for our practice of scripture memorization, one reason we're going through them this evening. Here's another one in Hebrews chapter 4 at verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And to our text now in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. And we're going to be paying very careful attention now to verses 16 and 17. With those others that we've read as background, now to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thus far, dear congregation, the glorious truth of the Word of God as we have it. Keep your Bible near you, but let's again come and ask His help as we continue this evening. Let's pray. Father, now we thank You that we have these many testimonies, and we just indeed scratch the surface with those texts tonight. Those many passages which remind us of the glories of the centrality and the authority of Your Word. And Father, as we have now this privileged opportunity this evening to see that authoritative word for our sanctification, we ask that You'd help us to grow and that You give to us all things that we stand in need of, that we may grow in the glories of Christ and for Your honor to be useful. Help us this evening, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we once again find ourselves this evening considering from the Word of God an aspect of that great Protestant Reformation. This morning, we took up Sola Scriptura Part 1, Scripture Alone, in that Scripture is enough for our salvation. Tonight, children, we consider Sola Scriptura Part 2, Scripture alone, since God's Word is enough for our sanctification. This is the will of God, your sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. And to that end, for that purpose, He has given to us a book worthy to meditate on, a living word to both cut and heal. Dear congregation, the Lord uses His word to sanctify all whom He is saving. The Lord uses His word to sanctify all whom He is saving. We take that up from 2 Timothy 3 in the following four ways. First, God has breathed out His living word, which is, secondly, extremely valuable for sanctification. Third, sanctification is His work by that living word to make His people, fourthly, very valuable for His use. And dearly beloved, if you want to focus on one thing that needs the attention of the church, especially in America today, it is this. The Lord uses His word to sanctify all whom He is saving. Well, first then, the text makes very clear that God has breathed out His living word. It is very important for us that our particular need be carefully considered this evening, which we'll come back to shortly. But first, and actually more important, is that we have some confidence, some rich confidence about the effectiveness of the cure. God's word is the cure, and it is a living medicine, a living corrective to bring about what we need. So we might wonder, what's the basis of our confidence? Children, this word, Scripture, the Bible, is authored by God. He wrote the Bible through human authors who were moved by the Holy Spirit to write exactly what He wanted to say. 2 Peter 1:21. Which gives me another opportunity for us to take note of these various passages which you've been getting in the past several sermons. Take your highlighter and circle them, or your pen and mark them and jot down in your notebook, this would be a good passage for me to memorize. Well, here's another one, 2 Peter 1:21. You see, the confidence that Joshua and all Israel was supposed to have as they entered, as they were about to go into that great conflict of the entrance into the promised land, was the confidence that what God said is true. A confidence which comes from knowing this book. Scripture is God's book. He wrote every single word. Now maybe again we wonder where the confidence comes from to boldly proclaim Scripture is enough for sanctification. It certainly is not what Rome believes. We think in terms of the Reformation that Scripture alone is enough for our sanctification. That's certainly not what even the church in America in broad evangelicalism believes any longer. They don't. So then why our confidence in this basic biblical premise? Well, the confidence comes from the authority of the Word of God. And, oh dear church, what we just said is a primary matter. Our confidence arises from the authority of the Word of God. Which statement lends itself to a personal reflection that I would ask you to engage in this evening. And the personal reflection once again goes like this. What is your own personal view of the authority of the Word of God? Well, you might say, of course, I believe in the authority of Scripture. I believe that if God says it, that settles it. And yet, this is an important question because what we are listening to this evening is designed by God to sanctify us. Do you see the connection? We say, I believe, I wholeheartedly subscribe to the authority of the Word of God, and yet what He is doing right now, beloved, is setting before us something that He intends to use in our process of sanctification. And so again, the question that comes before us is, what do I believe about this moment, this occasion, this text, and this sermon from it? Is it also for me authoritative? 2 Timothy 3:16, children, 2 Timothy 3:16, children, says, the Bible comes into existence from God's lungs. It's a little tongue-in-cheek, hold on. He breathed Scripture out from His being. Now, God doesn't have a body, no lungs, but it is put this way in our text so that we know the Bible came from God. That all of the authority of Scripture rests on the author of Scripture. Authority depends on authorship. Which begs the question, what does the church believe today about the author of the Bible, those two matters being so richly intertwined? Well, then we see that this word that God has breathed out, His living word, is extremely valuable, secondly, for sanctification. There is in our text clear indication given about our need. 2 Timothy 3:17. We need to be made complete, thoroughly equipped. And here I want us for a moment, beloved, to ponder that. Now again, I'm just supposing, and you may want to come up with me to me afterward and argue a little bit about this, but I'm just supposing that when we think of these texts, these verses, we probably know pretty well 2 Timothy 3:16. We could maybe even kind of roughly recite it. If we had to close our Bibles and from memory say it, we could probably do a fairly decent job with verse 16. But what about 17? You see, once again, the wisdom of the Spirit in giving these words in such flow that verse 17 is built on 16, but 16 needs 17. There's a purpose clause, a so what here. Why is it that we say that the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness? So that, aren't we inquiring in our minds, wanting to know, so what? The answer to that question, again, brings us to confront, dearly beloved, our need. Our need. This is sanctification language. Our need is for completion. Our need is for perfection. Calvin comments at this place, quote, Scripture is sufficient for perfection. That's an astonishingly stark way of putting it. Scripture is sufficient for perfection. Oh, we say, wanting to backpedal a little bit, do you mean in this life? And we begin to argue, oh, I'm not going to be perfect in this life. And of course we would say, no, that's yet for glory. But, beloved, let us not diminish the significance of this text. The Word of God, says the Bible, is that which God uses to complete us in this life. Verse 16 of our text then tells us that this word is, what does it say? Profitable. Profitable in making us complete. Now there is an underlying assumption about the value of these words, which we'll come back to in a moment, but the basic punch of them here is found in our confronting our need, us dealing with what our need is. How many ways do we see our need in terms of being less than complete, less than perfect, less than sanctified, less than whom we know we want to be and grow to be, as we're going to see it in a moment? It is only this way for the believer. There is only this desire in the Christian. the believer's need is for perfection, completion, and Scripture is profitable to accomplish that need. Children, the Bible preached, taught, read, studied, memorized, and meditated on, preached, taught, read, studied, memorized, and meditated on is the single most valuable source of our sanctification. We know God completes us with His Word. Again, we look carefully at our text, verse 16. Our completeness, our perfection is what God has breathed out His Word to accomplish. It's the reason He has breathed out His Word to accomplish something. As we noticed it this morning, in terms of overarching purpose, an overarching will, an overarching desire, that ultimately it is God's overarching will, purpose, and desire. And this, dearly beloved, is His desire, His intent, His will, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, our sanctification. So let's go back for a moment to that underlying assumption we mentioned a bit ago. And these are needful for us to speak. It is necessary for us to publicly state them. Let me put it to you another way. As we are all gathered together in this building to hear this assumption that I'm about to mention, to hear this assumption spoken, it begins then to become a publicly shared, confessed need. And here it is. You and I are not yet complete, not perfected, but we want to be. We want to be. Children, every true Christian knows they are not yet completed, perfected, but they want to be. And when they know that God has given His Word to make them more sanctified, they come to love the Bible more and more. It is a basic presupposition that exists in the life of the Christian. As we said a moment ago, not the unbeliever, but the Christian. Can't we hear the psalmist in so many places agreeing with this? I'm going to focus briefly and mention a couple of places from Psalm 119. Listen to what the psalmist says. Your word I have hidden in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. Psalm 119 verse 11. Hidden in my heart because I don't want to sin against you. I don't want to sin against you. I hate sinning against you. And so I hide your word in my heart. Here's another. I thought about my ways and I turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. Psalm 119, 59 and 60. Just one more. Psalm 119 verse 80. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. Blameless regarding your statutes. You see, God employs His Word by His Spirit in us, in His people, to complete us. To complete us. So that we see sanctification, thirdly, is His work. Sanctification is His work by that living Word. So notice what we confess and believe so far. This Word comes forth from God. It comes, as it were, the apostle says, from His very being, from His lungs. He breathes it out in that illustrative way of putting it. It comes from God's mind, His will. Second, he says that it is, His Word is profitable for making us complete. This word of his authorship is priceless for our sanctification. But then there is this other thing we must understand. If our confidence about maturing is to be stronger, if our belief about sanctification is going to grow, we need to have this other thing, that he, God does not give us this word and then step away to let us flounder and, quote, do our best. It's interesting that we could put it this way. God is no deist toward our sanctification. You know what deists believe and what deism is when it's talked about God being a deist? It's simply saying that God created the world like a clock. He wound it up and then he just tossed it and stands back and lets it do its own thing. It's not true about creation, and it is certainly not true about your sanctification. Children, God sanctifies us by means of his word. God sanctifies us by means of his word. God gives doctrine. God reproves. God corrects. He instructs us in righteousness. All by his Holy Spirit using his word. We need to understand it, that he actively uses his living and active word, Hebrews 4:12, to effect sanctification in us. The God who began a good work, you know the rest of it, carries it out. He uses the Bible to form our doctrine. He uses Scripture to grant to us a grasp of the interconnected teachings in the Bible, doctrine. He uses the Bible to correct our thinking, which then affects a change in our behaviors. He uses the Bible to reprove, to rebuke us, so that we will repent and humble ourselves. He uses Scripture to positively train us to add one truth to the other truths we've begun to know in order that there would be a resulting increase in our righteousness, sanctifying us in the truth exactly as Jesus prayed to the Father would be the case for his church. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. So that already, beloved, what we've begun to see in the past several sermons should be, and I hope that they are, in terms of Reformation teaching. This is red-blooded, full-bodied Reformation doctrine, should be bolstering our confidence and strengthening our faith, because you see, the center, the source, the energy, the strength of our sanctification is God. Now, once again, we might be saying, of course. But, oh, beloved, it is, of course, because we are Reformed believers. And as you have occasion to go out and bump into your friends and neighbors, it may not be such an obvious, of course, to them. Because often the first question that comes, especially in terms of new believers, is, oh, what do I need to do now? What's next for me to do? Just tell me and I'll do it. Is there a place for our response in our life? Of course. But only because, beloved, only because God is at work first. Children, we are to believe that we will be sanctified. We are to believe that we will be sanctified by God's word, the Bible. Because it is his word and his work. Remember, he wants you and I sanctified. And he actively uses the Bible to do that work. Well, this might be the place for us to consider some of our personal objections. And I would imagine it's the case that we each have one or two. Or more. There's a kind of troubling pastoral concern here in regards to those personal objections. That pastoral concern goes like this. Most of our personal objections are based on our own history, our own past. We say such things as, in terms of our sanctification, we say things like this: well, I've always struggled with this sin, that weakness. We say, I've always had that gruff, rough personality trait. We say, I've always been slow to do this or to do that. I ask us, beloved, in practical terms, if it isn't the case that when we say things like that, that what we are actually saying is that our past is sovereign over God. Is that what we're saying? My past is sovereign over God's will to sanctify me through His Word. Is that what we are saying? Dearly beloved, if that's what we're saying, there is a need for us this evening. And it is to repent. Is it repent of our disbelief? Of our, well, that's just how I am, and that's just how my DNA is composed and constructed, and that's just my way of doing things. No. If any of those things that you're thinking of have to do with sin, then, beloved, repent, because God is interested in and willing and moving in your life in terms of sanctification. You see, we say, well, isn't there a part for me to play? Isn't there something for me to do? Yes, of course. And there are many ways of describing that and dealing with that. And we can get to that later. But I'm going to tell you this evening what is the first thing that we need to do. Because the first part of it is internal. First thing we need to do is believe. Believe. Believe what? Believe that God is sanctifying you by His Word. Our thinking needs to be changed, especially about our past, especially about our habits, especially about our internals. There needs to be a change of mind, a change of heart that is affected by the Holy Spirit's use of the Word, which is exactly what is going on right now, you see. Do you believe that? The Holy Spirit is using this word. Which word? Verse 16, all Scripture is given, verse 17, so that you may be complete. God gives His Word to take away our excuses and, by the way, our need for them. Fourthly, to make His people very valuable for His use. You see the connections here. The Word is extremely valuable in our sanctification so that we might be extremely valuable to Him. This is exactly what the Apostle says in these two verses. Those internal changes worked first by the Spirit through the Word are very important toward the kind of value God intends for you. Did you hear that? Those internal changes that He works by His Holy Spirit's use of Scripture are of extreme importance for the value God intends to make of you in this world. You see, He says it plainly in verse 17, that His plan for us is that we be equipped for every good work. That's His goal. That's His end, telos, purpose, while we are in this world. Isn't this exactly what the Apostle says in Ephesians? Those things ordained before the foundation of the world for us to do good deeds. Well, here He talks about the working out of that foreordained plan before there was time of assigning certain good works for you and for me to do. He says, I'm going to enable you unto those things. I'm going to sanctify you unto the doing of those things. I'm going to do it. I'm able. He intends good. Children, the Lord plans. The Lord plans to use His good word to sanctify you so that He can use you to do good works. What a gloriously good God. Yet that means, as we see in verse 17 and what it says, it means that we need to be thoroughly equipped. Thoroughly equipped. That kind of sanctification, soul, spirit, body, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, requires that His Holy Spirit use His Word to first change our minds and hearts. Listen. To first change our minds and hearts about the possibility of change. He uses His Word to convince us that He will use His Word to sanctify us. And that's what He's doing this evening. So that now the reflexive question goes like this: about what things about yourself do you say, that's just who I am? I might encourage you this week to make a short list, because we could probably all make a fairly long list, but just make a few, note a few things that you say about yourself: well, that's just who I am. Because, beloved, when we begin to think that way, our thinking then begins to rule us. So that when we bite and devour somebody, we are inclined, though we may not say it outwardly to them, we might be inclined to say, well, come on, that's just who I am. You know that, right? No. Dear Christians, repent of that right now. Repent of that right now while you are under this word. While you are sitting under this truth, repent of that lie now. God's word tells us something different. He says in this text what we are required to believe: that all Scripture is breathed out by Him to make us complete, equipped, ready to be used. If we are honest this evening, once again I would put it this way: that what most of us don't believe has to do with us. I doubt any of us would want to argue with the text. But when it comes to we ourselves, we're slow to believe that the text of Scripture applies to our situation and our circumstances, and especially, once again, our history. I would ask you this question, if that's our thinking. If this text, if this passage is not to you and to me, if it's not to us as the church, then to who is it? Who is it for? If it's not to us. The Lord is using His word, children. The Lord is using His word, children, to sanctify us. And our first responsibility is to believe that this passage and our lives link up. Right now, He is sanctifying you by His word. Because the first call which comes to believers, the first thing by way of response that we must do is believe. These Lord's days, corporate worship, being in the house of the Lord under the preached word, listen, is the Lord using His word to complete you, making you useful to Him for good works. Amen. Our Father, we praise and thank You for the great benefit and privilege which is ours to be used of You for good works. And Lord, as Your word sanctifies us, we pray that You would also give us courage in believing these things to put them into practice, so that this week we may come to somebody and say to them, be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, and say it with all love and concern, but also then be ready to do whatever You enable us to be of help and benefit to them to that end. Good works, which are truly good and meaningful. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word, the light to our path, that we may see what you have called us to. Grant us mercy, strength, and help, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.